The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? No, there isn't. So you've got a buddy you've known forever, maybe since kindergarten or something. You've been through all kinds of stuff. He was first to hike you onto his shoulders when you scored the winning run, and last to leave the gravesite when you buried your dad. A man among men, a true friend, the kind of guy you could call at 2 a.m. and ask to meet you on a freeway entrance ramp with 20 grand in a gym bag. He would, and never even ask you why. A friend of a lifetime, irreplaceable. Few people can find a friend even half as good as that. But this guy is beyond. And then one day, he calls you to meet for a drink at a familiar watering hole. He says he's got some major news for you, but doesn't want to drop it on the phone. For a second, you mentally access your bank account. Maybe he needs you with that gym bag. And you love him so much, you want to come through for him. But then he tells you to relax. It's good news. On the way over to the bar, you're wondering, what the hell could it be? But you're relieved it's nothing negative. You walk into the place, and there he is, the big goofy grin on his face, and, oh shit, is this going to be one of his gags? As you make your way through the crowd, you realize he's not alone. He's got some woman on his arm, and she's got a flashlight-sized rock on her ring finger, and a look on her face that says one thing: I won, and I'm the boss now. Your revulsion toward this woman is immediate. Everything about her rubs you the wrong way. Not just the things she says, but the way she says them. The sound of her voice, her clothing, her helmet-like hairdo, everything. But you sit down and have a drink, and he springs this crazy surprise on you, and you say all the right and nice things, but in the back of your mind, No, your mind is too remote. Just in the back of your mouth are words bottled up like propane gas, and you just want to open that valve and spark the pilot light and roar like a fire-breathing dragon. What the fuck are you doing with this nightmare? Run away from her now and never look back, or she'll turn you to stone because she is the Gorgon Medusa. But you have another drink, hoping that your initial visceral reaction might be wrong. You want to like her. You want him to have a wife. That's right, but the more you look and see and hear, the less you can stand her. The sound of her voice.
And out a little bit. I mean, poor high you. Now, Alfred, you do it. You might like that one.
Is like a hive of insects. She chews with her mouth open. Nothing is right or good enough for her. She sends back the appetizers, and when she does, she's snotty to a waitress that could not have been nicer. Yes. She is a 22-carat bitch with attitude for days. And she's not even hot-looking. The sound of her voice begins to make you ill. It's like audio ipecac.
Interesting. Naked.
The sound goes from annoying to sickening. With continued exposure, at the very least, you will projectile vomit the buffalo wings you consumed before she sent them back, or it could be much, much more severe. Maybe you feel a strange pulsing pressure deep inside your skull where never before you felt anything, and you realize that it's a ballooning blood vessel about to pop and hurl you into an aneurysm or stroke. That's when, mercifully, your autonomic nervous system takes over. Just as your body produces blasts of adrenaline for fight or flight, or goes into shock as a protective measure, your brain automatically generates a tone that cancels the sound of her voice. Oh, thank you, brain. Thank you, autonomic nervous system. You just saved my life. Now, I only have to see your face, but I think I'll get very interested in peeling the label off this beer. And hey, look at that. Wow, I've got 2 hangnails. Wait a minute. I better make some eye contact. I don't want to be rude. Ooh, she looks pissed. I wonder if she can tell my brain is noise-canceling her hideous voice. If my lip reading is any good, I think she's discussing bridesmaids and caterers. Like I give a fuck. My friend looks like he's miserable too. This bitch is either an Olympic-caliber sexual athlete or she's scratching some gigantic kink itch of his. What the fuck does he see in her? Uh-oh, he's talking to me now. Hey, brain, any way you can selectively do this noise-canceling thing? I want to talk to my pal, but I still don't want to have to hear this creepy girlfriend of his.
Hang out a little bit. Green, for time, you. Now, offered to do it. You might like that one.
Oh, shit. She's back on full blast. Only one thing to do now. Take a piss. You get up and head for the can. And your brain is a fucking mess. All you want to do is get away from her, fast. At the same time, you want to smack the back of your pal's head with a shovel. Maybe wake him out of his fatal sex trance. As you stand there and water the porcelain, you can see his life dissolving faster than the pink piss discs in the urinal. He's your best friend. What to do? Then your phone tings with a text. It's your sister with some nonsense, but it might just as easily have been your boss telling you he needs you at work. Chop, chop. That's the plan. You can leave in a hurry and not look like a shitheel. You say some quick goodbyes. She's thrilled to see the back of you. But your buddy, did you see a flash of disappointment in his eyes? Did you give yourself away? Could he tell you think his fiancé is a walking, talking virus? You briskly walk out of the joint and hop into the sanctity of your automobile. No radio, no music. You've got to think. Your pal's life is on the line, but so is your friendship. How deep is he really into her? Or is it just some weird fling? Neither of you are kids anymore. Both have had plenty of girlfriends. But a fiancé, this is something else. And that rock on her gnarly finger must have set him back a ton. What was it your grandfather always said? Never shit-talk somebody's girlfriend. Even if they split up, he'll still hate your guts. Have you ever had an experience like that? I have. I bet you have too. And it cuts both ways. Plenty of chicks latch on to guys that are clowns and losers and ruin their lives. Happens all the time. Why am I talking about this? Well, I get emails. I've had these before, and I just got a couple of fresh ones. The same damn situation. Is there a solution to this conundrum? I'll get back to that a little later in the show, so stay with me. In the meantime, so much is happening. People have been hitting me with video links. And this one was shot in what may be the new anus of the United States, Broward County, Florida. What the fuck is wrong with that place? First, Monkey Boy Sheriff Scott Israel and his men refused to do their jobs and confront the Parkland shooter. Then Monkey Boy Scott refuses to quit or even accept a smidgen of responsibility. Tells the world he's given his department amazing leadership. Wow, that's arrogance. Think about this, folks. Nixon resigned over a botched burglary. Clinton was impeached over a blowjob. And Sheriff Monkey Boy is partially responsible for 17 murders, but he's not going anywhere. It seems like outsized egos and insufferable arrogance are in the water supply down there in Broward. There's a judgette, Mary Lee Ehrlich. As you'll see, she was none too merry. And she talks to a defendant the way I would talk to, Sheriff Monkey Boy, who had it coming. But this defendant was there on a misdemeanor charge, had never been in trouble before, and she was also elderly, wheelchair-bound, had both COPD and asthma so severe that 3 days later, she was dead. Have a listen to Judge Mary Lee as she holds court, finger quotes.
Excuse me, don't say anything beyond what I am asking you. Trust me, I am looking. Ma'am, I'm not here to talk to you about your breathing treatment. Excuse me.
How about that, huh? What makes somebody think they can behave like that? Maybe the system breeds that kind of attitude and arrogance. There's something inherently fucked about the court system, beginning with the language. Some judges are okay, but some of them are nothing but failed attorneys. They can't hack private practice, so somebody appoints them, hands them a robe and a gavel, and presto, instant juridical power and prestige. Of course you need order in the court and respect for the proceedings, but this Your Honor stuff and if it pleases the court, and judges referring to themselves as the court, is bullshit. There's respectful language, and then there is obsequious speech and phrases like, Your Honor, might play well at Buckingham Palace or the Old Bailey, but they have no place in America, and never did. You can walk into the Oval Office and address the president, whoever he might be, as Mr. President or Mr. So-and-so. No bowing, no monarchical titles. When some pinhead like Mary Lee gets a few months or years of people kissing her ass, of course she's going to start acting like she's a demigod. Amazingly, some judge above Mary Lee had a belly full of her bullshit and removed her from the bench. But how many people had Mary Lee shot her big mouth off at before this one? How many defending attorneys put up with her obnoxious attitude? Betcha that went on for years. And finally, this poor woman had to die to shine a light on that robed hag. Of course, Mary Lee wasn't removed from the bench immediately. No. She'll be there for another couple of months, drawing a salary, just like always. When people get fired in the private sector, they get fired. It's, here's your cardboard box. Clean your shit out of your desk. Don't say goodbye to your pals. And security will walk your unnecessary ass right to the street. That never happens with members of the protected class, does it? Never. Here's a little musical medley for Mary D.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Hey, let's hold that thought a moment longer, shall we? Way back in one of my earliest guest appearances on The Dick Show, my rage was Starbucks. I went off on them. And now, what is it, nearly 2 years later, the rest of the planet seems to be wising up to just what a shitbag operation they are. Of course, you've all probably seen the video of a couple of guys being arrested and taken out of Starbucks in handcuffs because they hadn't made a purchase. The dudes also happen to be black. According to Business Insider, Starbucks will close all 8,000-plus stores on May 29th to, quote, conduct racial bias education geared toward preventing discrimination in our stores. The training will cover topics including implicit bias and conscious inclusion, unquote. That corporation is incapable of doing anything without bullshit. Implicit bias and conscious inclusion, what the fuck does that mean? Attention Starbucks top management. Instead of inventing tortured phrases, how about you just tell all your employees they should treat every customer with respect and courtesy? Starbucks is hoist on their own petard. It started with former CEO and now executive chairman Howard Schultz, who's also a presidential wannabe. This guy a few years back decreed that Starbucks employees should initiate conversations with customers about race relations. Right. 7 a.m. You're late for work and hungover, and your boss is a prick, and all you want is a caffeine jolt so you can maybe not wreck your car on the rest of the drive, and you want to stop and have a dialogue with a 17-year-old about an issue that's been plaguing the planet since the dawn of fucking time. Listen to Captain Howard addressing his troops.
The issue of race relations and what this could turn into. If we just keep going about our business and ringing the Starbucks register every day and ignoring this, then I think we're, in a sense, part of the problem.
How about that? I wonder what Starbucks stockholders thought about that. Do they think making the cash register ring matters? I bet they do. And you do that by making a good product at a competitive price. Starbucks is overpriced. But you don't do it by trying to shame customers into some political discourse with a total stranger. Howard's harebrained idea of serving political debate with a coffee caused a massive uproar on social media and was branded, quote, patronizing and cringe-inducing, unquote. It got so hot for one Starbucks exec, he had to delete his Twitter account. Not surprising. Starbucks has always been shooting itself in the foot. In Los Angeles, they are the designated hang for wannabe screenwriters. Everybody's a fucking screenwriter in Los Angeles. If they can type, they can write, right? And these yutzes sit there, very often at tables for four, with a MacBook and an iPhone and other shit sprawled all over that table for four, all goddamn day. Does anybody ever tell them, time's up? Whoops, that's another hot-button political phrase, excuse me. What other business allows non-paying customers to squat all day like they're at a public library or train station? So Starbucks is going to straighten everything out on May 29. Right. Even the baristas are hip to their contrivance. Some are calling the one-day training session a, quote, reputation-saving PR move. And there they'll go again, patronizing and condescending to their own employees. It's reasonable to assume that the average Starbucks barista can understand that customers should be treated with respect and courtesy, isn't it? And that a simple reminder from the top might be sufficient to underscore that concept. But instead, they'll close up every store for, quote, training, unquote. Isn't training what you do for an animal? Human beings of normal intelligence can understand that racism is an awful thing. Apparently, Starbucks top management thinks their employees lack sufficient intellect to grasp that simple idea. So they're going to train them like a bunch of poodles. How fucking arrogant can you get? I have a personal axe to grind with Starbucks. There was a time when I was a fairly regular customer. Until one day, I stopped in with my younger daughter, who was about 4 years old at the time. And I ordered a medium coffee. I refused to use their idiotic venti grande bullshit. This is not Europe. Small, medium, and large will do just fine. I order my drink, and this geek in the green apron, with 900 pins on his cap, keeps staring at my little girl. And then he asks her, if I am her daddy. At 4 years of age, my daughter was painfully shy, so she did what she always did. She wrapped her arms around my knee and hid behind my leg. Then, incredibly, this fucking gink comes out from behind the counter to interrogate my kid, demanding to know, is this man your father? Well, that was it. I told him to get his ass back behind the counter and play pedo hunter with somebody else. I was pretty pissed off. I left. I thought, who the fuck hires an idiot like that? Well, I guess they hire lots of idiots like him, especially in Philadelphia. Some months later, my wife requested a Starbucks and I ventured back into the same store. I figured Pinhead had to have been fired by then. No. The same asshole took my order. And this time my daughter stood at the counter and was touching. Just touching, not taking, not pocketing, not disturbing. Their little plastic gift cards, just touching them. An asshole looks at my daughter and asks her if she had put any of his gift cards in her pocket. Gift cards, by the way, which are worthless until activated. That did it. I asked him if he had just accused my daughter of stealing. And this pencil-necked, pimple-faced little fuck says, maybe you should check her pockets, sir. Her shorts had no pockets. And at that point, I went nose to nose with him over the counter and said, apologize to my daughter, you asshole. Oh, his attitude changed. He said he was sorry. I said he hadn't said it loud enough. I told him he had to say, I'm sorry, really, really fucking loud so everyone in the place could hear him, and to say it with feeling. The entire joint got quiet, and Pencil Neck did as I commanded him. I won't lie to you, I wanted to deck him, but he wasn't worth the jail time. Starbucks is shit. It's a bullshit company run by virtue-signaling fucktards. Now, back to your best friend's fiancé. As I said before, it cuts both ways. I had a good friend. We were never romantically involved, just friends. And she was always a hoot, a very naturally funny chick who could hold her own with anybody. And then she got involved with some goon who just ruined her. He was a political zealot, a quasi-commie, actually. And over the course of a year or so, he just ground the personality right out of her. I've not seen her in many years. It's sad what some people allow to be done to them by lovers and wives and husbands. And so I get this question very often. My best friend is about to make the mistake of his or her life and marry an asshole. What should I do? And my answer is always the same. Dummy up. Say nothing. Divorce is the great American pastime. 41% of first marriages end in divorce, 60% of seconds, and a whopping 73% of third marriages do. Whoa, so much for three's the charm, huh? And the younger you are, the less likely it will stick. The success rate doubles for those over 30. So as much as you love your friend, be prepared to lose that friend if you attempt to wise him or her up. It's a lose-lose situation. Maybe it'll work, and they won't divorce. You'll still lose a friend, because you won't be able to stomach the presence of the wife or husband you hate. But that's life. But in case he does wise up and unhinges from her, let him know your couch or guest room is always available. Hey everybody, thanks again for hanging with me here at the Take No Shit Dojo. It's always great to be with you. Special thanks to the Patreonies who keep the lights on here. If you'd like to join the dojo, go to thatlarryshow.com and click that Patreon button. While you're there, hit the subscribe by email button so you never miss an episode. I'll see you this weekend for Sinner Sunday, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, all the women are pointy. Until that time, take no shit and stay the fuck out of Starbucks.